Let's just give God some praise for our leadership. Amen. We're thankful. Pastor Tom really is super excited about us being here. I want to give you just a real quick an admin piece, and then we'll move into the message. But you may have noticed today that we're driving all the way around the building in one direction. We're trying the best we can to try to figure out the best way to utilize the parking that we have. In addition to that, next week we will have the shuttle going. We have a 13-passenger shuttle that we'll have driving around. So if any of you would be willing to voluntarily park at the Boys and Girls Club, we'll come pick you up. We can get an entire, like multiple families on it. So we can get you there and here quickly. I don't know if it's going to be raining or not. I'm not sure what the weather forecast is. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter what they forecast. What God wants is what will happen. Amen. And so we'll be ready. We'll do everything. Sit in your car if you want until the shuttle comes through. But we want to help. In addition to that, that one drive goes all the way around the building. And then as you go to leave the parking lot, if you're going to come pick up family, it's a two-lane. So you can turn into the first lane and just come in that direction. Every bit of that is one lane, one direction. A two-lane, one direction. So you can go that way, or if you decide it's time to leave, you can head out that the other way as well. Does that make sense? I just want to give you all an idea of what we're trying to do. We're trying to do everything we can to make it easier on you to get in and out. But I do want to make this one statement that hit me this morning. When you look back at the tabernacle and the old temple and all that stuff, it was not created for the comfort of people. It was created, listen, their number one task wasn't to remove barriers so that people would be comfortable. Does that make sense? Their number one task was to remove barriers that kept people from worshiping. Anybody with me on this? And so in leadership, our number one desire is that you have a place where you're going to be able to freely worship. That's it. Come to us if you think that there's some things that we can make changes on. And we're good for that criticism, but just know that we can't do everything. Amen? And if you really just stop and think about it, too, I've had a couple different conversations. Somebody will say something about something, and I'll go, well, at least we're not in a school anymore. We do have that going for us, right? So here's the deal. As a congregation, we're used to not having all the creature comforts. So I appreciate that about you, and I want you to know that I appreciate that about you. And just know, we're going to do everything we can to figure it out. And parking, hey, if you have enough people coming in here, parking can be an issue, but we're going to make it happen. Amen? Are you with me? If you're with me, say, I'm with you. All right. I have to wear glasses because I just realized this year I'm old. It happened I turned 45 in September, and it happened all this year. So I started out not being able to see what I was reading, and what happened was I started to read things further away. And then I noticed as I looked up this week, it was just this week, it was an epiphany. I looked up this week, and I was trying to read something far away from me, and the whole room was blurry. It just happens, just like that. And so I'm going to have to read with my glasses, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1. I read this passage not too long ago. This is the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus. So I want to read through this again. And I'm going to pose a very particular question. That is, how do I really fix my eyes on Jesus? How do I really do that? So let's look at this together, starting with verse 1 of Luke chapter 19. Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. I love that. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not. How many of you could say that sometimes the crowd of the world can block your view of Jesus? How many of you could say that sometimes, yeah. Because you think about it, even Jesus in Jerusalem, they were crowded around him, but they were yelling what? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And so there's a tendency throughout history for crowds to get in the way of us being able to see Christ. So he ran ahead. He's like, not happening. And so he was seeking, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him. Listen, if we want to see Jesus, sometimes we got to get above the noise. Right? Sometimes we got to get above the noise. For he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and he came down and he received him, how? Joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. There it is again. Sometimes when you're seeking after God, other people are going to complain about it. Amen? He's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. I love this. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. To seek and to save the lost. See, Zacchaeus did something that I think all of us really try to do, and that is to get the right perspective to see Jesus. We do everything we can. We've got the crowd around us. We've got the chaos and the noise of the world. We've got the confusion of the enemy. We've got even our own nature fighting against the voice of Jesus. And we're trying like everything to really fix our eyes on Jesus. A couple weeks back, I had one or two confrontations with one of our contractors. And in doing that, it came about that basically they stated that I was being a jerk. And so here's the deal. I owned it. I said I was. I was pushing to get something done, and I was being a jerk about it. And so I owned up to that. I apologized for it and what have you. But here's the deal. Afterwards, I kept having this just like ongoing, constant issue with guilt over it and the stress of it and the worry about what other people think and whatever. And it just kept riding and riding and riding until I eventually looked at my wife and I said, listen, all of this has all been dealt with. Why am I still focused on this? And the question is, why can't I fix my eyes on Jesus? Why can't I put my eyes where they belong? Has anybody here ever asked that question before? Yeah, it's like here's what I want to do. I want us to look at five practical ways to fix your eyes. Just five easy things that you apply to your life that are all biblical and backed by Scripture. Five biblical ways. All right, the first one is the Word. Let's just start there. Now, you're going to say, this is a very simple message, but I don't know about you. I need some simple. I need some simple. Two weeks ago, Pastor Sam at the other campus preached a phenomenal message from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the key to it was, he got to verse 2 and he said, Now fix your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of your faith. The ESV calls him the founder and perfecter. And it says, looking to Jesus. The point is, you're turning your eyes and you're fixing them into the eyes of Christ, right? And he's talking about it, and he's saying, what we need to do sometimes, we just need to fix our eyes on Jesus. And I agree 100%. And then you go, okay, now how do we do that? How do I take that and how do I actually apply it to my life? And one of the key ways is to get into the Word. Do you know that this Word is the Word of Jesus? Do you know that? John chapter 1, verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It literally, and y'all say, Eric, you quote that all the time. Here's why, because if we don't get our minds right, see, we're not supposed to conform to the pattern of this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and we'll continue to say it until we get this right. Amen? Amen. Thank you from the right side. All right, anybody else? I mean, we really do have to apply this stuff to our life, because I don't know about you. I've been a believer for a while. I've been in ministry for a long time, full-time ministry for 15 years, preaching for 20 years. I have been surrendered to Christ for decades, and I still, on a weekly basis, have to ask myself, how can I fix my eyes on Jesus? Because it's so loud. All of the lies and all of the emotions and everything are coming at me, and I just want practical ways to do this. And he says, if you'll get in my Word, then you'll know me. Because he was the walking, living, breathing Word of God. It says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the walking, breathing Word of God. When you read this Word, you're reading from him. You are fixing your eyes on him. I have this folder. This is my newest folder. No, this was from Children's Ministry, so it's one folder back. This is my memories folder. Now, I have one from Hampshire First Baptist Church that's probably twice as thick as this because it was 5.5 years of ministry. This was about 4 years of ministry in with children back at the other campus. And what I do is I'll go back to this and I'll remember the relationships. I'll go back to this and I'll read the words of encouragement. I'll go back to this. Grayson, you probably have something in here. Gracie, you probably have something. I kid you not. I have notes that were written to me. I have one from Ebeth. Her name is Elizabeth Peters. Yeah, she called herself Ebeth for a short period of time. She goes to this campus and hopefully she's not here right now because I'm just kidding. But no, I have those little notes, but this note is actually a note from my daughter, Morgan. I think I saw Morgan in here. Hey, Morgan, where you at? There she is. I have that picture of when you were a baby. I want to put that up. This is it right here. So last week I told you that when my daughter was a baby, she was in NICU and she was huge. See? She's big. Amen? And look at that full head of hair, right? Y'all are so feeling sorry for my daughter right now, but that's okay. Listen, I want you to hear this note from her because it is precious. It is precious. And the reason I want you to hear this note from her is because my daughter and I had a good relationship up until this moment. We had an incredible relationship up until right now. And because of that, we have this good relationship and we can reflect on things that happened in the past. We can move forward to the future. This was when she was a little kid. She said, "Dear Daddy, I love how you preach to kids about Jesus. That is awesome. I wish I could go on a mission trip someday with you. I love your job and you. I'm glad that God picked you as a preacher. The Bible says you are fear fly and wounder fully made. I love you, Daddy. Love your daughter, Morgan." You see, when we have issues with everything else in life, sometimes if we just come back and read about the one that loves us, it helps us through those tough times. So I can come back and read these notes, but that's exactly what the Word of God is for us. It's this love letter that He's written to us, and He says, when everything else is coming against you, fix your eyes on me. And one of the ways you can do that is get in here and see these notes and these letters and these beautiful pictures that I have painted for you. Get in my word, and then you can fix your eyes on me. So one way is the word. Another is to praise Him, to praise Him. I want to see how many people can find the book of Habakkuk. I'm intrigued. If you get it, say, "Oh, I got it." I want to know. Habakkuk chapter 3 is where we're going to go. If you get it, say, "I got it." Some of you looking on your phones, yeah. How do you spell that? Habakkuk chapter 3, we're going to do verse 17 down through verse 19. Remember, we're trying to fix our eyes on Jesus. Verse 17, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Even though everything seems to be going wrong, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places." See, what you're seeing there is, yeah, everything seems like it's off, but let me fix my eyes on the author and the perfecter of my faith. And the way I do that is I begin to praise Him. I begin to praise Him. Listen, when my babies were little, I used to hold them before they would go to sleep. That was my task, was to take them, wrap them up, and to hold them so that they would be comfortable to go to sleep. And as they're sleeping, I would literally talk to them. Now, you'll note in this picture, I fell asleep. That happened often as well. But Beth was better at it. She would actually stay awake and love them. This was literally when Morgan was born. And you know what we would do? We would take and we would hold our babies and we would praise them. We would talk about how beautiful they are and how much we love them and how much we cherish them. And we would just talk it over. Even if they weren't even listening or if they were asleep, we were praising that child. And what we need to do in our relationship with God, because it is a relationship, if you want to fix your eyes on Jesus, focus your eyes on Jesus, then begin to tell Him who He is to you. Tell Him. Talk to Him about how beautiful He is in your eyes, about how He is your Prince of Peace, and He is majesty, and He is glorious. And when everybody else is against me, You will never leave me or forsake me. And continue to talk about the characteristics and the qualities and the names of God. There's name after name after name of God. And begin to speak that. And listen, here's what you need to do. You need to take the Word of God, and you take the names of God, and you need to speak them out loud, because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you truly want to have faith from what you hear, speak it out loud. Speak that word. You know, another reason you need to speak it out loud is because the enemy needs to know. Hello? The enemy needs to know who your God is. In addition to that, the enemy needs to know that you know the truth and you're not going to believe the lies anymore. Speak it out loud. But if you'll praise Him, Scripture says He will live in that praise. You look at Psalms chapter, Psalm chapter 22, verse 1 through 3, it starts with a quote that actually Jesus quoted from the cross. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He goes on to say, why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Has anybody ever felt that before? Anybody? Oh, come on, be honest. How many of y'all have actually felt this before? Right? And then you look at the next thing He says, yet you're holy. He begins to talk about who God is. Yet you are holy and you're enthroned on the praises of Israel. One translation says that He is inhabits the praises of His people. He is in that moment. Listen, when we praise Him, it's like walking into the throne room. I feel like y'all aren't getting this. I mean, it's like walking. The reason I want you to get this is because this is practical and simple truth that works. It works. I mean, some of y'all have had a tough week. Anybody had a tough week? Yeah. Did you ever find that your eyes were drifting off of the one who could give you the answers that you needed? Because I have it. I deal with that in my life. And this is a practical and simple thing that you can apply to your life, and it will work. Another thing that you can do is you can serve others. I have this saying in my life, one of the best things I can do to overcome depression in my life is to get away from me. If I'll go serve someone else, get away from me, because what happens is I get caught up in my own thoughts. And my own thoughts begin to lie to me, and I start to put thoughts into other people's heads. You ever done that before? I've even said to him, why were you thinking? And he said, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. We're not even on the same wavelength, but sometimes the enemy, he comes in and he starts to seep those thoughts in, and we grab a hold of it and we run with it. But listen, if we will serve others, we will see Jesus in that moment. Scripture says in Psalm chapter 25 that which you've done unto the least of these, you've done this for me. He said, when I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was in prison and when I was sick, you came to visit me. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. And they said, well, Lord, when did we ever do that? And he replied with, that which you did unto the least of these, you've done this for me. And if you want to fix your eyes on Jesus, serve somebody. Serve somebody. And you go, well, I don't have time. I question that because I've seen my life. Got a lot going on, but we got enough time to help somebody out every once in a while. Amen? Another thing you can do is you can serve with others. Not just serve others, but you can serve with others. This is a crucial part of it too, because according to Galatians chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but who? Christ who lives in me. And so when I'm out serving, guess who's serving through me? I need you to help me. His name is Jesus, he's serving through us, right? And so he is not only receiving, but he is also giving in that moment. You want to fix your eyes on Jesus? Serve somebody. When I go to One Genoway Food Distribution, I see Jesus and the people I'm praying with. I see Jesus and the people I'm putting bags in their cars with food in it. I see Jesus and the ones that are handing out clothes. I see Jesus and the ones that are sorting food. I see Jesus and Chris Whitney, who's leading that ministry. We see that on a regular basis. Throughout the week, we see Jesus and those fourth graders and those third graders and those second graders. We see them at Whitthorn. What? Jesus at Whitthorn? Absolutely. We see Jesus at Whitthorn and those fifth graders, 26 fifth graders who are there being served. And at the same time, they're hearing about Jesus, but they're not just hearing words, they're seeing action. And what happens is when I fix my eyes on Jesus, other people see Jesus in me. Because we are the reflection of Christ in our life. We are the reflection of Christ in our life. And when we're serving others, they're seeing that reflection of Jesus. He is the light of the world. And then when he left and he ascended, he said, now you are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen? The fourth thing is pray. Pray. Prayer is all about communication, right? We get in there having a conversation with God. I have a life verse that is actually written on the bottom of this lectern. It's Jeremiah 33:3. It's written on here. Jimmy Williams wouldn't let me pick out my own lectern. He was mean. No, actually, he had a plan. He said, I've got one I think I want you to have, and I'm going to get this for you. I said, all right, I trust you. So he brought this, and when he did, he found out what my life verse was, Jeremiah 33:3, through my wife. And it was so funny. I remember the conversation. The light bulb came on when I read it. I was like, oh, I remember her asking. She came up to me, and she said, I was thinking the other day, I don't really have a life verse, but I think that you do, don't you? Sneaky girl. I was like, absolutely. Jeremiah 33:3, and it says, call to me and I will answer you. The King James says, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But the ESV says that which you do not know. So what happens is we're going to cry out to God to get answers. We're going to fix our eyes on him. And it's just like this. Oh, by the way, I want to say this real quick. I don't have my phone with me, but have you ever gone to the restaurant and you saw that family that was staring at their phones and you thought to yourself, come on, people, have a conversation? Do you ever have that? Yeah. If not, you probably are that family. You put your phones down and actually have a meal together. And listen, with our prayers, put all distractions aside. Because God wants to have a conversation with his people. So put your distractions aside and have an actual conversation with him. And he says, if you'll call to me, I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you did not know. And there's something interesting about this verse that's written on the bottom of this. Do you know the best way for me to read this is to be on my knees right here and I can see it. It's in humility that I see that scripture. I think that's powerful, y'all, because here's what you need to understand. We have to humble ourselves before God. And I don't know if you go all the way back to the very beginning. Listen, we're almost done. We're almost done. But if you go all the way back to the very beginning of this message, the first thing that I shared with you was the word. And I don't know if you noticed, but the word can be used in all the other four. It's good. That's good. Because it's the primary way that we fix our eyes on Jesus. But listen, when I'm in my prayer time and I pray scripture, there is something powerful about that. When I'm serving others and I'm speaking the word of God into those other people's lives, there is something powerful about that. When I encourage the person that's standing beside me with the word of God, I'm bringing Jesus to the moment. Amen? And then both of us are fixing our eyes on Jesus. And when I praise him, if I praise him with his word, there is something powerful about that as well. It's good. And here's what I know. This isn't an all-encompassing list. These are just five practical ways. There's other ways, but these are five simple ways that we can take and apply these things to our life. And when all of Hades is coming against us, we can say, oh, not today, devil. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come up. We're going to share a song together. And as we do this, I want y'all to know that if you need somebody to pray with you, I want you to listen to that. I want you to listen to the Spirit speaking to you and let somebody pray with you. In the back room, at the back of the room, there's a doorway that goes back into one of our classrooms back there. That is now the prayer clinic. And if any time during the service or any time during altar time or whatever, even between the services, if you want to go back, there will be prayer warriors that will be back there that would love to pray with you. Another thing is this altar, it's always open. Anytime you need to come and get on your knees, humble yourself before the Lord, then do that, all right? But I want you to know this. In this moment, we're going to sing this song. It's an old song. It's Just As I Am. Anybody know that one? Do you know all 785 verses of it? I didn't know if you did. We're only going to sing a few of them. We'll get to the end and be like, I think we'll just sing one. No, we're going to sing a few of these verses. And as we do, I want you to listen to what God's saying to you. Maybe you've been struggling this week to fix your eyes. Don't leave this place. Hey, listen. I started this message with, I can't see a thing, right? So maybe you need to get your eyes checked today. Maybe you just need to come up and say, okay, it's been blurry, but I'm going to get some focus. And the way you get that focus is on your face before God. The way you get that focus is you go and have somebody else pray with you. Amen? The way you get that focus, let somebody speak the word of God into your life. And we have people that are willing, able, would love to do that today. So we're going to sing this song, and there's a little bit of a surprise in here because I text Logan. I said, Logan, I really feel like we need to write our own bridge to Just As I Am. I said, are you up for that? He said, I am. So he wrote a new bridge to this song, and as we sing it, you'll hear that. I want you to listen to words. I want you to sing this with us, but more than anything else, I want you to listen to what God wants you to do. And if he wants you to come to the altar, come just as you are. He can handle it. If you need to go and have somebody pray with you, just go just as you are. You don't have to put on a mask and pretend. Be real. Because can I tell you this? God already knows your heart. He already knows what you're dealing with. He wants to help. Lord, I ask right now that you would speak to us. I ask that as we continue to worship, as we continue to bless your name, you would help us to listen to your call on our life. If you want us at this altar to come and to talk to you, to get that focus again and help us to do that. If you want us to go and talk with somebody else to help get that focus, I pray that if those conversations occur, that your word would be right in the center of it. We ask for truth because you tell us the truth will set us free. We ask for freedom. We come just as we are in Jesus' name.